a child needs to know, first of all, that they're protected. Second of all, they need guidance. Third of all, they need love, and that's not in any particular order. Those are, you know, three very important reasons why you need to be a parent and not a friend.
All this month on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we're talking about parenting. And this week, our featured guest has some very interesting thoughts about how we accomplish that important responsibility.
I know teenagers want their privacy, but if you're really worried about their health and safety, there's still a responsibility. Go through their room if you have to and get them help they need before it's too late.
To paraphrase God's word, we're told to train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, to help us with that training process, we're going to talk about a brand new devotional book that will get all of us into God's Word on a daily basis.
This book, the way I wrote it, is very compact. It has the epistle and the gospel reading for each day from Pascha to Pentecost. And then there's a little meditation called The Spark for the Day.
And welcome again to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we come to you from our studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're a nonprofit worldwide outreach looking at life and its important ingredients through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. This month, our verse of the month comes from the book of Proverbs. The first chapter, starting at the 7th verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head." A perfect introduction into our conversations today as we talk first about a new devotional book and then get some parenting tips from a specialist. And of course, conducting those interviews is our host, Father Chris.
Father Aristotle Damascus, better known as Father Ari, Dean of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Toledo, Ohio, is here to talk about his latest book, Keeping the Light Burning, Daily Meditations from Pascha to Pentecost. Welcome, Father Ari.
Thank you, Father Chris. It's so good to hear your voice. We go back a long way.
We do.
To the days of Helena College in the admissions office.
That's right. We worked together. Did we travel around the country, too?
And We did. We planned the tours together, yes.
You poor thing. I dragged you with me all over the place. God bless you, Father Ari. Let's talk about a number of things today. You have written a book, Keeping the Light Burning. I want to talk about the daily meditations from Pascha to Pentecost, because many of us get very excited leading up to Pascha, to Easter. We sing Christos Anesti, Christ is risen, and then it's as if somebody lets the air out of the balloon and the balloon just comes down and we coast along and we're not flying as we should be.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that. Why is it a good practice to strive towards this?
Because, you know, we were disciplined throughout the whole season of Lent. In fact, when I gave a sermon, I brought about five different books, and I said, these are all the books that help us prepare for Great Lent. Mm-hmm. And we are disciplined. We have pre-sanctified liturgies, we have Fiatides Me, we have Compline, you know, we stress confession, Holy Week. But then we come to Holy Week, and we sing Christos Anesti, we're on a high, and then maybe about the third or fourth week, we start to dip. And there really is not that much information out there. There is, yes, the Pentecostarium, which is the hymnal of the church. But other than that, there really is not anything out there to keep us motivated in keeping the light burning so that we can maintain that momentum that hopefully we strive for during the Lenten period.
It may be what you said. I think you put your finger right on it, the issue of discipline. That there is a discipline established during Great Lent which draws us to the church, to the services, to confession. And then after that, it's almost like the summer camp situation that you have where our kids go to summer camp. They're all excited. They come back to church. You see them in church all the time. And then after that, for a little while, it kind of dies down. So maybe it is that discipline you mentioned.
Absolutely. And this book, the way I wrote it, it's very compact. It has the epistle and the gospel reading for each day from Pascha to Pentecost, so you don't have to carry any other book with you. And then there's a little meditation called the Spark for the Day, which you know, just tries to get a little piece of meat for someone to listen to, or it might speak to them. And, you know, the epistle readings might speak to them, the gospel might. And, you know, it's one of those books that I know a lot of people will go ahead and read ahead of time, or some people will read a little bit of it every day. So it's something that will work for everybody, and you could take it with you no matter where you're at.
Do you write those sparks that you mentioned?
Yes, most of them I did write myself.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting book. Tell us how you can purchase the book. Where can they go to find it?
This book can be purchased in three venues. You can go to Light and Life, and they have it listed. You can also email me at aristotle@buckeye-express.com, and also alienusmultimedia.com has it listed as well. And the book is $16.99 plus shipping and handling.
Okay, so it's you're giving three ways. Everything is done in the church in threes, I guess,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. Finally, Father, what's one or two things that each of us can do today to keep that light of Pascha burning in our hearts and in our lives?
Well, I think the one thing to remember, as the kids always say, you know, our goal, we have to do something 24/7. And I believe that we might be the only Bible a person will ever read, or the only icon a person will ever see. So we have to reflect that image of Christ. And we, as my wife tells her Sunday school students, think what you did during Lent. If you want to continue, memorize a prayer, recite it, go out and help somebody. Let everyone know that we are in this together, and that we can do so much for the church when we share our efforts, and not think so much of ourselves, but think of the other person. And as we light that candle at Pascha and share that flame with the other person, we can share that flame of the love of Christ with one another.
Thank you, Father Ari. We appreciate it.
I really appreciate it, Father Chris, and my love and the best to the family and all that you're doing for our church. We thank you.
All those details about how you can get a copy of that new devotional book can be found on our website. I'm sure you probably weren't able to write all of the specifics down. Go to our website at myocn.net and click on the CRTL link on the homepage. That's myocn.net. You'll also find a link to our blog page called The Sounding on the homepage. Just click on the blog link there, and that will take you to The Sounding. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to interact with other Orthodox and non-Orthodox believers around the world on a variety of very important topics. We'd also like to hear from you just in general. Write to us. Let us know your thoughts about this broadcast and other opportunities we have for you to expand your understanding of God's marvelous world and hopefully draw closer to Him. That's myocn.net. There's a link there for contacting us, and also a support link that will open up a page that shares with you a number of ways in which you can become a financial partner. We'd love to hear from you. And now with our feature interview for this week, here again is Father Chris.
Elena Barbato, an Orthodox psychologist who is a certified parenting instructor, is with us today to talk about kids and self-expression. Welcome back, Elena, and I wish I had you on the program years ago when I was raising all of my six children.
Oh, my goodness, six of them.
So
I'm sure
much.
You did a great job.
I don't know about that. So much pressure to love our kids just as they are. Oh, my gosh, there's so much we can talk about. But, Elena, let's first talk about personal appearance, because I know a lot of parents deal with the issues of clothing that is revealing or not appropriate. We've got the goth look now. We've got the black lipsticks. We've got the mascaras. We've got eyeliner on guys. We've got dyed black hair. Oh, my gosh, piercing, tattoos. Help us out, Elena. What are we parents supposed to do?
Well, you know, we may not like how it looks, but generally speaking, unless there's other signs, other warning signs that something's going on, it's probably okay.
Is it a stage? Is it a stage that they go through?
Yes, you could call it a stage. you know, we could talk about the importance of self-expression and what it means in developing their own unique personalities, mm-hmm. and how doing things can be important in developing these important stages in life of developing identity. And that could be only what that is and nothing more. Like I said, it's important to also pay attention if there's warning signs. And what are the warning signs? Well, warning signs are, do they seem depressed? Have they changed their friends? Are their grades dropped? Things like that. Is there something going on in your home that you know about? Is there a divorce or something that could cause the children to be doing this other than trying to express their own creativity? Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing.
What I'm concerned about are the kids that turn into adults and never grow up. They continue. I mean, there are men walking around in 50s and 60s with green and purple hair. And so I don't know where that goes in. But let's stay in the kids' realm today with you, all right? Okay, we're dealing with that. How about those that decorate their rooms? I'm sure as I've gone around as a parish priest and I've blessed many homes, I'll go into this room and has a poster. The other room has a poster. This room has a sculpture. I mean, it is unbelievable what's in people's rooms. Now, I guess that's part of that expression again that you spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally speaking, a teenager's room is his or her sanctuary, you know, a place to figure out where he or she fits in. And this is usually an acceptable place to reveal his interests or her interests and what pleases him. However, you may want to draw the line at anything that is sacrilegious or morbid, mm-hmm. especially anything that promotes suicide ideation. That's something I'm very concerned about right now. And lastly, a teenager's room could also be a place where he or she may be, and this is kind of, you know, a little bit off topic, but you know, other than the posters, a teenager's room could be a place where they're hiding illicit activities involving drugs, alcohol, or sex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it may be that you could start something where, you know, the two of you go through their room when they're young, you know, sort of getting rid of clothes that don't fit, toys that don't play with anymore, so that it's sort of a regular activity. And that way, mom or dad can sort of get in there, find out what's going on in the room.
And a little lastly, stealth sort action of, there, okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Stealthily sort of, going through there, okay.
Yes, right. And just like sort of as a last warning, I would say that I know teenagers want their privacy, but if you're really worried about their health and safety, there's still a responsibility. Go through their room if you have to and get them help they need before it's too late. And that's really, you know, those are sort of the bigger concerns about the way that kids keep their room. You know, if the posters and decorations aren't really going towards things that are morbid or sacrilegious, I say, you know, go let them do it. Let them take that sort of route for self-expression if it's not hurting anything.
The problem I have with what you're saying is this, Alina. The kids sometimes are more mature than the parents. And what you're asking and what you're saying, which I agree
yeah.
with you to a certain extent,
yeah.
that parents are the ones who have to actually be parents.
Absolutely.
You got to step up.
You're going to find all my answers are basically saying you have to be a parent.
I like that.
I give you descriptions on how to do it. So
okay.
All right.
That's good. That's good. Now,
okay.
What do we do when we start seeing, okay, the use of obscene language,
uh-huh.
offensive language in everyday conversation,
uh-huh.
Writing of poems, songs, essays that may even contain messages that you and I don't agree with?
Right.
What do we
Absolutely.
Do with that stuff?
Well, you know, writing is really a wonderful way of expressing how you feel inside. And it may get to the point with teenagers, if you're not able to relate to them on a regular basis, if they're kind of clammed up when you ask them how they're doing, look at what they're writing, because that may contain some answers of how they're really feeling about themselves.
Sure.
For example, if they're experiencing bullying at school and they're not telling you, this can lead to lower self-esteem, and you may find something that gives you that answer in a poem or a writing, and really you want to find out what's going on inside of them. And even though it may be something violent or angry or aggressive that's going on in this writing, that's your starting point. Start asking questions. Be empathetic. Really listen. And then you may get somewhere with this teenager to get them some help that they need.
Listening is really important, isn't it? I know with me, when we first had our children, I was bumbling left and right, trying. I never took a course on parenting, by the way. I don't know many people that have. We try. We learn from our parents. We learn from our mistakes. Unfortunately, our kids are the ones who usually get our mistakes.
It's true.
But when we're parenting many times, we are afraid to be a parent because we think our child wants a friend. And we've talked about this with other people on the program as well. From your professional standpoint, you're a certified parenting instructor.
Mm-hmm.
What is the child looking for? Are they looking for a friend or a parent?
They're looking for a parent. A child needs to know, first of all, that they're protected. Second of all, they need guidance. Third of all, they need love. And that's not in any particular order. Those are, you know, three very important reasons why you need to be a parent and not a friend. And, for example, now that you know, along those lines, friending on Facebook.
There we go. Now is a topic we can talk about.
If your child is on Facebook, unless your child is living under a rock, they probably are on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Along with the 900 million other people that are.
Oh, absolutely. This is an area you're going to want to regulate. Even though you are not particularly interested in Facebook, I would encourage parents to go and join on Facebook because they will learn things that they need to know about what their children are doing.
Yeah, but what happens when your child says to you, you know, I'm not going to friend you because you already live in my house. We don't need to be friends.
Well, believe it or not, children feel loved if you ask them what they're doing, who their friends are, what is important to them. They may answer in a snide way, but in the end, they get the message that you care, and this is the thing that could end up saving their lives and keeping them out of trouble.
And they also like it when we allow them to bring their friends to the house, even though they'll make fun of us in front of the friends. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact. But in the long run, I believe they truly value the fact that we're interested in them and who they're with, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really important for children to feel like you understand them. And if you know their friends, then you understand them. You understand what's important to them, what people are important to them. And that is what fills up, you know, the love place inside, deep inside of their soul and their spirit. It fills that up when a child feels understood and loved and cared about. And then you know what? When that's filled up with love from their parent, they're not going to need to fill it up with drugs or alcohol or other risky activities.
Let's go to online behavior. You mentioned Facebook,
yes.
Twitter,
yes.
All these Google Plus. There's all kinds of stuff out there. YouTube.
Yes.
Tell us about posting personal information online.
Well, you're getting into some really intimate details that, you want to talk about. Who do you want to share these intimate details about yourself with? Do you want to share it with millions and millions of people? Isn't it more important to share it with somebody that you care about, somebody that cares about you? It's that old proverb of throwing pearls before swine. You know, it should matter who knows about your intimate personal details. And these things can't be erased once they're put on the internet.
No, that's a good point. Someone who cares about you. I think all the reality TV that's out there now, things that we, frankly, when we were growing up, I'm 58, I don't know how old you are, but when we were growing up, we wouldn't discuss these things in front of everybody. We certainly wouldn't put it on television. And now we have almost like an open public confession. That happened in the early Christian centuries, but it was very different then. There was a public confession which brought us closer to God. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about people who use other people to make money through reality. And I'm wondering if that sort of dropping down the guard with the reality TV has allowed this sort of atmosphere to allow Facebook, Twitter, and what have you to spring up and become so popular. What do you think?
Right about that. I think that there is sort of a, in general, sort of a lowering of our personal evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that goes to a topic that I feel very strongly about, which is sort of the over-sexualization of people and girls in particular. And that sort of goes along with sort of, like you said, the dropping down of the borders, going down to, like, base instincts of, you know, anger and jealousy and these, like, emotions. It's like we're focused only on base emotions and not people's ability to regulate them, which is one of the big things that our religion teaches us, is don't be guided by your emotions because they'll lead you astray. Mm-hmm. You know, follow the teachings of Christ, follow the rules, and they will keep you on the right path. If you let your emotions guide you, they'll lead you into the dark places.
How do we develop within our young people that feeling of responsibility, that they are responsible for who they become, that they cannot blame other people for who they become?
Right.
That not everyone is going to be famous, not everybody's going to be a star, but that they have to step it up. What do you think about that?
Well, what you're talking about is something that, if all is going well, it starts at childhood. You know, when kids are young, we want to foster creativity and self-expression because it expresses what they see, feel, hear, and think. And these activities help children satisfy their curiosity to explore, experiment, use their imaginations, and answer open-ended questions. And these things are important to children's development because they provide a foundation for children to acquire problem-solving skills, feel good about themselves, develop a sense of uniqueness, and to help to expand their intellectual or cognitive skills. Now, so if we're doing things right, hopefully these things have been developed, and they'll understand that they are responsible for who they are as human beings, and that when they go into being an adolescent or a teenager, they understand how to express themselves in good ways. They understand that they are responsible for their own character building, and they're responsible for their own actions. Now, you know, as they continue to grow, this is mostly what I talked about originally, is mostly in children. As they continue to grow into, you know, adolescents and teenagers, there's different things you can do. You know, it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about, you know, fostering their creativity and self-expression, there's things like, you know, encouraging them to learn how to play an instrument, mm-hmm. or join the theater, or to learn how to paint, or if they're into digital, make a short movie, learn a language, that sort of thing. But if we're talking about taking responsibility, you know, fostering a self, a sense of responsibility, then what we can start to look at is things like rewarded responsibility at the home. You know, make sure that the boys and girls have jobs that they are responsible for doing, whether it's cooking a meal, cleaning up, taking the garbage out. And then, you know, teenagers can tend to gripe about doing these sorts of chores. So let's make sure that they get rewarded for it, either through something that makes sense in your family. For example, as long as these chores are done, you can go to the movies with your friends. As long as these chores are done, you get an allowance. As long as these chores are done, we can go out shopping for a new pair of pants. Whatever it is that makes sense to you and your children. Something else you can do is have home meetings where the adolescents and teenagers can voice their opinion about things like curfews, chores, schoolwork, and that sort of thing. Then they feel like they're being heard, and they take more of a responsibility in actually following through in these very important things. You can let them get a part-time job. You can encourage them to work with children. For some reason,
that's a good one.
Teenagers, you know, working with children can really make them feel good about themselves, because for one thing, they can see how far they've come in their lives, mm-hmm. how much they understand, how much they can do. And they feel they can have a great sense of satisfaction in helping out children. Just that alone can be a wonderful thing. You can do that. I know that there's day camps, summer camps, boys and girls clubs, babysitting, helping out in Sunday school, all kinds of opportunities to help out with children. And just on a religious note, what you can do with your adolescents or teenagers, I mean, teenagers are philosophers by nature. You know, I found that they can tell you anything that, about what they believe about anything. So after church, what you could do, ask them what they thought about their sermon and how it applies to their lives. Ask them about their favorite Bible passage and why. There is a website called orthodoxparenting.com that has some suggestions about that sort of thing, what to do with your teenagers. You can look that up there.
Alina, always a great pleasure to have you on the program. We could listen to you all day, so I'm sure that we're going to be talking again.
Well, I hope so.
Parenting is a never-ending blessing. That's how I put it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Alina. God bless you.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Bless you, too.
Well, you've done it again. At least I hope you've done it again. I hope you're a regular listener. You've listened to another 26 minutes of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. I'm Mike Trout. We're here each week on this radio station with a brand new look at some topic or topics through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. Do share with your friends the fact that we're on the air. Encourage them to join us. And go to the website, myocn.net, and discover all of the marvelous opportunities we have for you to strengthen your Christian walk. That's myocn.net. Special thanks to our executive producer, Father Spiro Bobotis, and our programming director, Ann Dankert. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.